Welcome back, and thanks for checking out another episode of On the Jumbotron. Thank you all for your support thus far and helping us get this podcast going. Today's guest is Dave Peterson, currently a senior athletic director at War Eagle Productions at the University of Auburn. On the Jumbotron is your backstage pass to the world of game day entertainment, giving you behind-the-scenes stories and insights from the pros who create unforgettable experiences for fans. So, don't forget to share this and all our episodes with your friends and colleagues. Enough from me. Let's dive in. Here's your host, Christopher Lee.
Thank you for joining me right now and today on the Jumbotron. I'm excited to be back with another episode to inspire, to inform you, and to get you encouraged about game day production and just to learn a little bit more about what we do behind the scenes for our fans and for those that come to our stadiums. A great show we got lined up for you today. We're going to go down to Auburn. We're going to go to Auburn. Yep, I said Auburn in Alabama. Okay, let's go. David Peterson is with me today. He and I met years ago at a conference that we both go to that excites all of us in our business. And he agreed to talk to me. So I'm excited about that. And we're going to bring him in. David, are you with us?
I'm with you, Chris. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to do it. Stuff like this makes you rethink, like, all right, why am I doing this? Why, you know, I haven't thought about that for a while or whatever it may be. So,
but since we're on that point, how did you get into this business?
I got into this business. I started as a student at Husker Vision, which would have been back in 97. And, but I knew I wanted to be in the business when I was much younger. Actually, I remember specifically, my dad took me to a game in Omaha, which would have been either like a minor league basketball team or a hockey event or something. It was like, I can't remember exactly what it was and I think it was hockey, but what I remember was a game entertainment portion of that event that I never forget. I remember two things. It was unusually cold, so it must have been hockey now that I think about it. And the other thing I remember was this moment that I just thought was the coolest thing, and it was the simplest thing, a timeout or in between periods or something, and the PA announcer comes on and says, "Is Mike here tonight?" And out of nowhere, a light hits just one random person in the stands and he gets up, can't touch this, starts playing, and he just starts dancing all by himself. And that was it. And I remember looking at him thinking it was about the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I don't think, and there wouldn't be at that age, I don't think there was an actual video board of it, but it got me interested in game entertainment at that moment because I just loved it. I was there with my dad. It was the funniest thing to me, and it was the simplest thing. And that's what I think started piquing my interest pretty early. But from there, went to Nebraska. I wanted to play in the marching band, but I also wanted to be part of Husker Vision. And I applied the first year, did not get in, applied the second year and got in. And I worked there as a student with Brandon Meyer, Chris DeReicher, Brandon Verzel, trying to think of Andy Young, and a number of people at the time, Mike Lickert, CJ Lickert, a number of people who were part of the Husker Vision family that have gone on and continued to still work in the video board industry. And so that was a number of the people that were in my class. I went to Kansas as with my first full-time job and worked there 19 years. And then I moved here to Auburn and I'm starting my sixth season here now. So,
man, you hit on a lot. You hit on a lot.
Yeah, we can wrap it up, right? We done?
This would be the shortest podcast ever.
Very good.
So how old were you when you first saw Mike dancing?
Well, this would have been, I'm talking maybe 10 years old, 11, somewhere in there, because I remember it being just really special time with my dad that we went to that game. It was just he and I, and it would have been about around that time. So, yeah.
And that sparked it, seeing him dance?
Yeah. I mean, just this, well, I mean, he was a pretty good dancer for one, I think so, you know, and I am not. So maybe that alone just got me. But it was just the idea that just the simplest thing. I mean, you know, that's not going to take anything. It took a spotlight and it took the PA announcer just as, and I don't know who Mike was. I don't know if anyone knew who Mike was, but it was just the simplest thing that got people engaged and were looking at him and laughing. And I mean, it was just the simplest and funniest thing to me. And I think from there, I wanted to be part of entertainment somehow. And
well, that's amazing that, you know, something as simple as that ignited the fire in you. My fire was ignited when I stuck my head in the ESPN truck at Liberty University. We had, I think, some tournament going on. I forget what conference they were in at the time, but I stuck my head in and a guy motioned me in, said, come on in. I thought I was going to get kicked out, thought I was going to get yelled at or whatever, but he says, come on in. And it blew my mind, all the screens and everything that's going on, all the buttons. And that is what bit me into the business. But for you, and I think this was college for me, but for you to know at 10, that's
well,
pretty awesome.
I wouldn't say no, but that was my first inspiration to want to do it, to want to entertain, to see how easy it is to capture an audience and to do it. And that, you know, I'm not sure I knew exactly at the time that it was in, you know, in an arena in this industry and this sort of thing. You know, obviously at my age there, a video board, at least I wouldn't have probably seen one yet, because I mean, we're talking in the '80s. But I just loved that, just how simple you can engage, how simple you can capture people's imaginations just with just one small thing like that. You know, I liked how you were just saying someone, all you did is peek your head in and someone said, hey, come on in. Right. Like, and then from there on, you were hooked.
From there on, I was hooked.
That's cool. So who do you remember who it was? Was it a truck or?
It was a truck. I don't remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
And he was the only, no, it was two people in there. So it was, that guy and then somebody else doing audio. And that was it. But at the time, I mean, we almost share same stories. I was playing music at the time, playing drums for the pet band. So I couldn't, you know, stay around and, you know, be in the truck and all that stuff then, because I was actually playing drums, for the tournament. But after that, I mean, I got even more involved, and they had a television station on campus, filled out my information, ended up getting a job, and, you know, and then, you know, years later, here I am still in the business. But I mean, you mentioned that you worked at Husker Vision, and, you know, when you were in college, I want to say you worked with almost like the dream team. I mean, all those names you mentioned are like top tier people now.
Yeah. I was very lucky. And man, we had a blast. There was a competitive edge there as students that you wanted to outdo each other. But it was this friendly competitiveness. I don't remember. I mean, shoot, we all traveled together. We went, you know, just when we weren't working, we went on a couple trips. I went to Austin, Texas, and watched a Nebraska, Texas game. And, just with those friends from work. And so it was just really neat to be part of that group. You see it now. There are some talks about it's this Husker Vision or this tree that kind of comes from that group. So Jeff Schmall was a pioneer in the collegiate industry that he started. Nebraska was the first stadium, collegiate only stadium, to have video boards. So where they specifically put it into just a college stadium, you know, they had like USC may have been playing in front of, you know, with a video board, but that was because they were in Raider Stadium or whatever it is. But mm-hmm. So he started Husker Vision there, and a number of people came from him and was really doing great things. And it's a great group to be a part of. So we kind of all learned from him and a number of other people that are up there, Kirk Hartman and Shot Clean, who's well-respected as well in the industry. So I got really lucky and really fortunate that I didn't give up after getting told no the first year. So,
I mean, we just talked to Brandon not too long ago,
and
he just went on and on and on about, you know, Jeff and, you know, all the things that he brought to the table and his creativity. I mean, what kind of stories do you have to share?
So Jeff, and if you talked to Meyer about it, he would probably told you to, some of the things that Jeff taught was that content is king, and that will always be the case. When we look at our video boards and we look at stuff that goes on there, it's true that content will always, you know, storytelling and there'll always be a need for content and for video boards. And I think the system that he set up there, it allowed people to be creative. I remember, and shoot, actually, I just went back there this past weekend because now my son goes to Nebraska. And I went back and watched their boards there and went and kind of toured up there again for the first time in a long time. And it was neat to see again. And I remembered some things that were taught and remembered some of the things that they allowed us to do as students there. One of them being, and I noticed come the fourth quarter, some of the shots that were being taken, some of the camera operations was a little shakier and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Fourth quarter, I believe they always allowed, you know, freshmen or younger students to hop on a camera. You know, and so of course it's not going to be, you know, there's a couple times I didn't quite follow the ball right. And then it triggered. I was like, that's right. That's because they're giving opportunities to people, you know, to continue that legacy that's coming out of that program. And they had a great production and I loved watching their stuff and they always do good work there as well. So it was kind of cool to go back and just relive everything we did there. Jeff inspired a lot of people. Jeff gave a lot of opportunity to a lot of people and I'll always be thankful for that for sure.
That's what I was telling Brandon, that it almost seems like that you guys pioneered game day, the video board aspect of game day. I mean, from the walk, from all the other things that, you know, that was done at Husker Vision. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've carried bits and pieces to other places that you've worked.
Yeah, maybe. Well, and I say that because so my first job at Kansas, Mike Lickert, who was also from Nebraska and worked with Schmall. So I went to work with him there and he had kind of already established. He was there, I think, 1 or 2 years before me. And then, but yeah, very much he and I started or got the program going at Kansas first with the football video boards. And then what grew into Allen Fieldhouse and what it is today, some of the production that was done there is really cool. It's neat to be part of those national championships and some of the championships teams and the runs and knowing that you're a part of it. It's not, you know, a lot of it is putting, you know, adding gas to the fire that's already there. You know, there are moments where we can say, hey, you know, that win, we were a big help in that or whatever it may be, you know, but a lot of times if you got the right team in Kansas basketball, they often had the right teams and it was somewhat easy at that time, you know, to just whatever they're providing, just provide a little gas to that fire and keep the crowd fired up and those sort of things. But they didn't have a video board when we got there. So it was just a scoreboard, an old Daktronics or an old Matrix board. And what I loved is that I remember creating the first intro video for the basketball team. And I'll never forget that staying up that night. You know, you look back now and, you know, like a lot of stuff, maybe it wasn't as great as, you know, probably, I don't know if it stands the test of time now, but, I specifically remember making that video that night. We used Streets Have No Name, U2. And at the time, well, that was the clip, that was the music I wanted to use, but we didn't have an instrumental version of it. And we sent a student into Kansas City that night, like late at night, to get a karaoke CD to be able to, so I mean, we're going back a little bit, to be able to get the instrumental version of it. And luckily he got it. Luckily we got some stuff edited in time, and we ended up using that music for the longest time until it was just became time to change music, get something else. But man, people loved it, and it was fun to see people love it. And it was fun to get that instant gratification, which I think is why a lot of us do this job too. It's neat to see people appreciate your work immediately.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about this business that is so much fun, that you can put smiles on people's faces so quick, so quick. I mean, you don't have to wait for a like or wait for this or wait for that. I mean, it's so instant. And, you know, you add a camera to that, to going up to, you know, the image going up on the Jumbotron, and people just light up. I mean, you have some people that, you know, like, you know, may have their faces, but the majority of the people are waiting, waiting for their
cameraman, right, exactly, yelling at you. So I also, when I was in Kansas City, when I was in Lawrence, Chris DeReicher and Brandon Verzel at the time were at the Royals. And so I freelanced as a wireless camera operator for them. And I still think that might have been some of the funnest time I had working, because everybody loves you as the wireless camera operator. And it was fun to go set up shots and, you know, talk to the kids and see them having a blast and knowing that you were making a difference in their life for that moment and making something that, you know, they'll remember. You know, I'm telling a story about Mike standing up and dancing and what an impact it had on my life. And, you know, it's neat to think that maybe I was an impact in some other kid's life somewhere along the way of just putting a camera on them, and they looked up at the board and saw themselves and, you know, made a great moment, a great time for them with their dad or their mom or their family or friends, whoever they're with. And you're right, it's neat. It's a neat industry to be part of.
I mean, it's an instant memory for them.
Yes.
And not only a memory, but a happy memory for them.
That's a good point.
You know, we're not doing anything that, you know, will cause, you know, shame or harm. They will look up there, and even the ones that are like a little bashful will keep peeking up. You know, is the camera off of me yet? Is it off of me yet?
Right.
But even they are enjoying it. I mean, that's what I love. You just mentioned wireless camera. I love wireless cam just because, one, you have the freedom to just roam around and be anywhere that you want to be, you know, on the court or on the field. But you're able to get close to the fans too. You're not like so far away. You're not, you know, locked down on sticks and having to, but I mean, and you hear the, hey, cameraman, you turn around and be like, okay, one second.
Right.
And you hold the camera on them and then you see them doing this.
Right. But you also know then the worst part of that job is when you've got the camera on them and you're sitting there for a minute and you're like, yep, nope, it's coming. Hang on. It's coming. And after being there for 2 minutes and then your director tells you, now you gotta leave. You gotta go somewhere else. And then you're like, well, sorry. And off you go. And you've just ruined the kid's day. So,
that happens more than not too. And, you know, we have to, you know,
that part's no fun.
Say maybe next time I'll come back. I don't know how many times I've said that. Hey, I'll be back.
Right. I'll be back.
And all intentions to come back. But,
you know, that's how I should have said it. I have every pure intention to come back here and get you on. And then I didn't lie.
Exactly. But I mean, it's just one thing about our business just excites the fans. And that's what gets me excited about, you know, game day. And I mean, the thing is, we can't control what's going to happen on the field or in between the lines, but we can kind of control that if the director works with us, that is. we can kind of control those things. What are the memories that you have? A feature or a content that you guys did that just, you know, was a memorable one for you, either at Kansas or Nebraska or wherever you've been.
I liked, so a couple of them at Kansas that I really liked. I remember the students, and I think this is something we always need to remember too, is, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we didn't create, but the students did it. And then we, you know, if they kind of started doing something, then we jumped on with them and added to it instead of forcing, hey, we want you to do this when, you know, we want you to put your hands up and go whoosh or something. Like, you've got to let that just naturally come about. And then once they discover it, how can we, again, add a little bit of, you know, fuel to that fire? And so, like, a lot of the students, I remember one year we're bringing these cards with letters and they would spell out stuff, you know, for a free throw or whatever, you know, whatever it is, they would continue to put messages up. And so we made a feature with that and then started doing something like, I think it was some sort of Wheel of Fortune or something where we wanted them, you know, they had 30 seconds to spell the phrase or the word or whatever it was. And so everyone, if they got it, the whole row or the whole section won popcorn or something. I can't remember what it was. But the idea that they had kind of, their own idea. And then we made a game out of it to see if they'd continue to play with us. And so you kind of get in this relationship with the crowd. And so if they're feeding off you and you're feeding off of them, that's when it really works. You know, times like that, when you're messing with the crowd and, you know, we would cut to a person and they don't see themselves, you know, the oblivious cam, those are funny. Yeah. And then when they see themselves, we'd cut off of it. We still see the camera and it's not on air. Then we'd cut back to them again. And then they'd like get their phone out and we'd cut off it again. You know, and just start messing with them, then come back, cut it off, you know, like, and so then everyone knows what's going on. Everyone's laughing about it, but then we're playing with each other. Right. And it's just these moments. And we would do that with the band. They played every pregame, Bohemian Rhapsody. And so I was directing and technical directing at the time. And so I would cut to the song. And, you know, when the headbang starts and, you know, I'd make sure I'm cutting at certain points of the, you know, the beats and almost like that Wayne's World scene, you know.
Right.
And so, like, those were the cool times. And I really liked those when we're interacting with the fans and it's just this natural stuff, just the easy stuff where you're not spending a ton of money to do it. It's just simple things. I remember talking with CJ Lickert, who was at Oklahoma State at the time, and like, I think they did something like, it was like, maybe I'm making this up, or maybe he said he was going to do it, but the game was like, pick a number, one or two. And someone was like, one, man, is two. And that was the game. Like, that was it or something. Like, it's just the simplest things, but right. It was, you know, whatever it was just so simple but so funny. I mean, I think those are some of the things that I like, is just when you're interacting with them and you're playing with the crowd and, you know, you're just kind of messing with each other and stuff like that. Yeah, those things are fun.
Yeah, those interactive games are special. And even the ones that are organic are special, too, because it's not a planned type thing. And like you talked about the oblivious cam. Where I remember at Tech, we used to have a counter.
Right.
We'd just be on somebody and had a counter and just see how long it took for them to realize that they were up on the board. And I think we got up to like 30, 45 seconds on somebody. And then they were finally like, they looked up and they're like, just gave us one of those looks.
Even with that, it's probably fun to see as the crowd seeing how we learn throughout, because more than likely we probably had a counter that only went up to like 1 minute. And then when we realized we had someone at, you know, like, well, we got to make the box bigger to put, you know, over 1 minute in there, you know. So I think it like stopped or reset to zero the first time we did it or something. Like, oh, well, we probably didn't think about that.
But those moments are so fun. And I mean, it gives life to the control room. I mean, let's just say that the basketball team is down, you know, 15 points, whatever, and you maybe have, you know, a couple minutes left in the game. Stuff like that keeps your energy in the room. And that may be able to, you know, come back and get a little run or close the game out a little bit more. But our job is to keep the atmosphere up.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
Now, well, you're right. And we talk about it a lot now still here at Auburn too, is that we have to, you know, your producer, your director, you have to keep the energy up as well. Because as you're speaking, you can very easily bring the room down. You can very easily, if you're too disappointed as a fan, you know, forget what your job was to do, which is to stay engaged and keep everybody excited, entertained, and to keep that energy up in the control room so that your camera people are continue to work hard and those sort of things, you know.
That's so true. I mean, being a fan and being an operator at the same time is tough.
Oh, it is very tough.
It's tough. Very tough.
And I think that's what almost has calloused me a little bit toward, you know, sports, where, because I know they can just be heartbreaking. And so you want to almost put on a face a little bit of like, I'm always happy at this game. Yep. Oh, we're losing again. That's all right. Here we go, guys, everybody, you know,
yeah,
keep the positive energy up, you know, whatever it may be. Cause man, come Sunday, I don't want anything to do with sports. I know a lot of people are NFL fans and a lot of people are working, but you know, I remember after that football Saturday, this, I guess, was at Kansas. You know, I just didn't want anything to do with athletics on that Sunday. There wasn't any, I don't recall there being any other games then on Sunday. Now we're responsible, you know, here for volleyball and soccer and other sports that I don't think we had video boards there at the time. But yeah, I just want to break away a little bit and get out of the sports mentality sometimes.
Speaking of boards at Auburn, how many do y'all have?
Let's see. Well, I mean, of course, there's all the auxiliary boards and boards inside buildings now. So not counting those, we have a Jordan-Hare at the football stadium, Neville Arena, which is men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, gymnastics. We have baseball, softball, soccer, and equestrian. So we have, yeah, that's the fun one there.
Oh,
wow. Unique one. They're all fun. But I don't know. I didn't count that. What was it? Seven or eight? Somewhere in there.
They're all fun, yeah.
Yes, yeah, right. well, they are. You know, honestly, equestrian, man, I tell you, I have the funnest time with those sometimes because you talk about, I mean, you have no control over, well, they should have control over what the horse is doing, but there was one incident last year and I had just left the event. It wasn't over yet, but that the horse had a mind of its own that day and it took off a little bit within there and they couldn't control it, but it wasn't something that the athlete did. It was, you know, something that the horse just, whatever that day, I think it was gone next day. I don't want to know what happened to it, but.
Was it similar to that bull at the rodeo that jumped over the
I know what you're saying. It's the same idea that it could have, although the bull probably, whatever you're talking about, probably took some people out and caused some injury.
Yeah.
This one, I think it was more lucky that it didn't, but
yeah.
I think more than anything, it also shows why equestrian is just maybe one of those things that there are some things you can't control on timing and some things you can't control. You know, the basketball, you can control the ball and the hoop and the all these things, but you put a live animal in the mix and who knows what's going to happen. So
definitely true. Definitely true. I hear that you guys are getting a new video board.
We are getting a new video board on the north end. So the south end, as of right now, I believe that as of right now on in 2024, the south board is still the biggest collegiate video board per square footage. And now we're going to be adding to the north board or to the north end. And the size is, it's not going to match the exact same size. It'll be a little smaller so that as the stadium is, if we did it the exact same size, it would have been a little higher. But I think the idea is to keep it just level across. So this one's going to be a little, just a little smaller than the one on the other end. But yeah, there's some pretty big responsibility into that now of making sure that our content continues to be solid. Make sure our camera operation is solid. It's funny you bring that up because, knowing, man, when you stand in there, and I suppose this is the place at a lot of places, when that board is big enough, it commands you to look at it, and you can't not see when something happens up there. If there's a swish pan, if there's a weird quick jitter, if God help us, a part of the board goes out, you see it. There is no hiding behind what is up there.
Yeah.
And so our attention to detail, and that's one of the things that I make sure I continue to, we continue to collectively talk about, is smooth shots, the attention to detail, because it is so, man, any mistake or anything and people are going to see it. And we were talking about that new board on the north end that's going to go in. It's still going to be pretty massive. And one of the things that I've noticed is when we do these long recognitions, we would have a wireless camera operator walk through, and or either a wired camera, whatever it is. But the idea being that when they walk, you've got to have a steady shot on that. And it's really challenging, any bit of the littlest bit of wiggle to that. And the stadium, you know, is, you're seeing the shot that just looks so shaky. And knowing that then the north end, and now are we, it's going to really, you know, I'm like, God, man, is it going to get
balanced out? Bad?
So we recently, our biggest thing this year is we finally spent the money to get a wireless rig with a Ronin and be able to smooth out our shots. And so that's something we're working on this year and working through that and the challenges of trying to figure out that. And, but it is neat to see how that makes a difference, just because some of those shots were just so long and shaky, but I'm like, man, you get in that stadium and that board is so big. It's, you know, if it's a, it's not like it was this terrible shot where, you know, you're getting, you want to, you know, vomit because it's making you sick or anything, but it was enough distraction that I'm like, we need to clean that up. So,
I mean, yeah, you can tell if something's off. You can tell, I mean, because the board is so massive. And I don't know if the fan would know if stuff is a little off. But being professionals, we know when it's way off.
I think that's part of, as well, what makes our job challenging is that we all talk about it sometimes afterwards. You know, your director or your TD will be like, I just had a perfect show. I didn't have a bad cut. I didn't have a whatever it is. And I think that's always the goal of ours. Can we have a perfect show? We don't get redos. We don't get a command Z, you know, on a keyboard. We don't get a rewrite. Everything, if we're not perfect, someone notices it, and that is a challenge. And that's why I think the critiques, you know, sometimes can, you know, not be hurtful, but can be a little devastating, because it's, you want to say, well, did you see the 99% of the other stuff that was pretty good? You know, that one bad cut, or we had a camera that was, you know, going rogue or whatever it is. But you notice it, and shoot, we notice it on live broadcasts, you know, when we're in the industry, you know, you start saying, oh, that was a bad cut, or, oh, shoot, that replay didn't wipe correctly, or whatever it is. So,
but that's the thing. I mean, because we want to do such a good job, as professionals, If we're a fan of that school, that team, we want to do such a good job. And, you know, if a little hiccup happens, you know, we carry that on our shoulders, just like the players would carry that on their shoulders. If, you know, if the quarterback throws an interception, I mean, he kind of messed up. That may, you know, throw off the rest of the game or whatever. And same with us. If we have a camera shot and we don't look at our tally lights or whatever like that, and we move before we're supposed to, that is going to play in our heads. And we have to learn to move on to the next shot. But then, you know, right there on the spot, it's like, ugh.
Oh, absolutely. And that was one of the biggest things that I had to learn when I was directing in TD. And I remember my producer telling me, like, you just, Mike would be, look, you got to move on from it. And you've got to realize that you're, ugh, and you're dang it's, and you're, you know, maybe I'm getting frustrated myself. It's like, bro, it's done. Come on, move on. And now the way I was acting, or, you know, I wasn't throwing fits by any means, but, you know, slumped shoulders now. And now I'm like, gosh, darn it. You know, like, I'm bringing the room down. So I've got to, you know, keep the attitude up correctly and just move on. It's a way you teach someone else too.
Right.
Just move on from those mistakes.
Realize that could affect the remainder of the show.
That's right.
And I mean, and then from there, you have some miscues, or, you know, a mispunch or whatever, or, you know, the instant replay doesn't bring it in fast enough. And then, or they don't hit the play button, and you just, you know, there's just a steal up there for, you know, 15 seconds. And that starts affecting the whole game and everybody else. So the person producing, the person, you know, calling the shots has to be in a good frame of mind that says, okay, next thing, next thing.
I remember my moment that I could, if I was having a bad first half or whatever it is, I would always at halftime, time for a student to come over. All right, you're directing halftime, and I'm going to go take five, just chill for a second, wipe the stink off from that first half, and I'm coming back, you know, whatever it is. But it was a great opportunity then for students to learn too, you know, put them on and let them go and give them their moment. You know.
Let's talk about the tip off that you guys do at Toomer. Is that, how many years you have been doing that now?
Tip off at Toomer's. So tip off at Toomer's is, it's not every year. I'll be doing my third one here pretty soon. And tip off at Toomer's is pretty cool because, if you know, in the city of Auburn, Toomer's Corner is where the city of Auburn and Auburn University come together. Literally, it's the corner of where campus and the city meet. And Toomer's Corner is where, after big wins at Auburn, they go and they toilet paper the trees. And so it's just this great space where the community comes together and a lot of celebrating always takes place. Toomer's Corner is based on Toomer's Drugstore, which is down there. And just in case you didn't know, the reason the toilet paper is because Toomer's Drugs was the place where after wins, they would have the little ticker tape that came in, and that's where they'd get their news. And after seeing the victory, he'd go and he'd throw it out in the tree. And so the toilet paper represents that ticker tape that now populates all the trees. So I did not know that. So when I got down here, that was news to me. So I think it's really cool. Man, there's some cool traditions here. But what tip off at Toomer's is we bring a court downtown into that space. Men's and women's basketball team come there for the start of basketball season. And this year there's going to be a concert that precedes it. And it's one of those neat one-offs that it brings everybody together. Your tickets department, every athletics event does, but to be able to go and do it remotely is quite the challenge, but it's a huge thing. And when you do it, you know, talk about great teamwork and you know, how do you bring the city and city police in on it and making sure that everyone's safe and line in the streets, stopping traffic, having it from basically midnight the night before to midnight the next night or 2 a.m. or so, and have a big celebration. I think we're bringing in 6 video boards to line the streets and a great opportunity to celebrate the start of basketball season. So it's pretty cool.
6 boards?
6 boards. They will line, there'll be a couple that line the stage, and then we're putting them down the streets as well, just to make sure that the crowds are big enough that they can see it. That's the challenge with it, is that it's all flat from the stage all the way down. There's no seating that goes up, you know, the further down you get. So,
right.
But it's a cool event, and it's, you know, I remember at Kansas too, it was, you know, talk about that Midnight Madness celebration is something that has evolved over the years, and how much the video boards have gotten involved in that as well. That when I remember, there were some years when there was no video board, and this is Kansas specifically, just, I can't speak of Auburn. I don't know what they're doing here at the time, but at Kansas, when there's no video board, it was still a cool event. People would come in and wait until midnight. And I remember at 12:01, the team would come running out for their first practice, and they'd, you know, you got a full house of 16,000 people there watching it. But then once the video boards got involved and they allowed the time for that Midnight Madness celebration to start earlier, I think, I don't know exactly what the rule is now, but I remember at one point there, it was 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. You could kind of start it. And then you're bringing in, concerts, you're bringing in entertainment, you're writing entertainment, you're pre-producing entertainment. And then I remember there was one year that I swear, you know, of the 4 hours of what was Late Night in the Fog, like 3 hours and 30 minutes of it was all pre-produced video. I'm like, what are we doing here? You know, like, I don't know if it was that much, but it sure felt like it. But the point being is that there was so much impact once that video board comes in that, man, you can now have a chance to tell everybody's stories and see the players in skits and watch them perform and let them shine on who, on what their personalities are and stuff, and tap into that. And so that's how, man, that just became a really neat opportunity to really, you know, help the players become individuals there too. So,
yeah, it makes them human. I mean, even more now because our phones and all the content that you can get about a player and how fast it comes in like that. I mean, but back then it was almost like they were just the players, but now we can dig into some stories. We can see their personality, and, you know, the Jumbotron, you know, is a big help to that. I mean, it's wild to think that, you know, that you at Husker Vision and you guys had the major part of making everything that it is now for game day. It just continues to blow my mind that you guys were, like, you know, almost like the pioneers of that.
I liked how the opportunity was there for, as students, that we were doing a lot. And we were, you know, now that I look back on it, they were doing individual stuff for players at the time too. There's a player, Makavica, and this was back in their championship days. And I can't remember his name now, but they would bring in, you know, you think about NIL now and you think about all these things that were going on. But even back then, I remember them bringing in, or we would go out and we shot this scene with the player with Makavica pulling a Mack truck behind him, and, you know, this huge semi. So every time he did something good, we would show just that, you know, little 20-second bit of, like, Makavica coming through and pulling this, you know, truck behind him or something, and then he flexes, something like whatever it was. But I think about some of the sponsorship opportunities that were there, or some of the NIL money that could have been there for some of these things. But even then, I think what was neat about it is those were shot by students and those were edited by students, and they gave us the opportunity to do those things, and they trusted us to do the right things. And I remember there was a couple that I think there were times where things didn't go well, but I also remember them, you know, taking the bullet for us too, you know, like, yep, that's my fault. We shouldn't have let the students do that or whatever it was. I'm sure as students, we were knuckleheads and got in trouble as well, but it was such a cool environment, a cool place to be a part of and to learn and grow. Yeah, great memories there for sure.
Now that you're at Auburn, you're not as hands-on, you know, in the video production. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, and I think so now at this time of my career, I'm trying to figure out, you know, reinventing myself of what it is that I can bring to the table now. And because I am not in the control room nearly as much as I used to be. In fact, most, you know, my role on game day is just more observing and, you know, putting out fires as they come by. But for the most part, when I first got here, what was really interesting to me is I went from being someone at Kansas where I was an editor. And so I was a post-production guy, and then I was a live game day guy. And we were kind of, I was a jack of all trades. I did, you know, I knew the switcher, I knew the crossfire, I knew the DAC boards, I knew how to, you know, all the little tricks to get them to work. You got to just hit that one or, you know, whatever it is, you know, just, you know, like Fonzie or something, then it'll work. You know, whatever it is, I knew how to fix all those things and I was pretty good at what I did. And then I got here and everyone was so good at, you know, one or two specific things that I found myself not being, you know, I'm now in charge of people that they're all better than me at their individual things. And it was kind of humbling, right? That I remember someone specifically, our director at the time, just, you know, dying for feedback. And it was hard for me to be able to tell him like you're doing really well. Like, you know, we didn't learn the ESPN way of doing things when we were at Kansas. We had to just kind of teach ourselves like, oh, I guess we'll call this camera one and we'll call that one camera two. But when the stuff went in here, it went in specifically for the SEC network. And they had video boards at the time, but a lot of now what's here is, you know, there are specific numbers for this camera and that camera that are, and the way they call shows is a way that I didn't call shows. I taught myself that as well. A lot of ready this, ready one, take one, ready two, take two. And it was a long time before I realized that even how you're saying ready, you know, or preset or whatever it means, that's triggering someone that it's either going to be a dissolve or a cut or whatever it may be. And I just blew my mind. Like if you ever had to work on a David Peterson cut show, is a lot of ready this, take that, ready that, cut in ready, and not even like ready that, like what's that? You know, the VTRA, whatever, roll it, not roll A, you know? So there was a lot going on here that people were really good at. Matt Jaques and Jeff Honnell were here and they were producing amazing stuff on the post-production side. We had people on the live side that they're still here that are just very good. Parker Lapine, Jake Mays, and just some solid people. Our engineers are great. And just everything, I was just like, man, what can I bring to the table now? And so it's still learning that, learning to go from that to staying at a 30,000 foot level and knowing that I don't have to be the guy anymore. And that was hard because you talk about an industry that you want that immediate feedback and then you don't get it anymore. You know, nobody tells you great job, keeping the HR, you know, things signed and, you know, hey, solid job with, going to those meetings this week, you know. We wouldn't have known what's going on without you. So great job.
The thing is, you're not the only one that is moving into those type of positions and having to learn to, you know, leave the edit bay, put the camera down, to put on a different hat, and to learn how to lead in different ways. I mean, you wouldn't be in that seat that you're in right now if you didn't know what you were doing. So, I mean, I'm going to applaud you right there.
I don't know. No, but you're right. And well, and it is what I wanted to do. I mean, look, I've got five kids, which, yes, questionably irresponsible, I understand. But that's a Jim Gaffigan joke. He always says something like that. you know, I didn't, where I got tired was not being able to tell my wife when I'd be home, you know, because when you're editing late, they ask when you're going to be home. And it's like, I'll be home when it's done. And I don't know when it's done until I know it's done. And I think even that, I mean, that's a good thing to have when you're editing, because that's something my dad always said, if the job's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And I didn't want to just hand something in like, well, that'll work. That's good enough. I didn't like that. I'm always doing the best I can until it's done. And if it's working up to the last minute on it, it is. But so that's hard to tell the family. Like, I don't know when I'm going to be done. I don't know when this edit's going to be complete, or I don't know, you know, and God forbid the server gets, you know, stuck, or, you know, like, God, now I got to stay and this render wasn't right. And now I've got to be here another hour, you know? So yeah, it was time to move on. It was time to do something different. And hopefully to allow me to be a good father and good husband and be able to get home in the right time and those sort of things. But
well, that takes maturity right there too, to realize all those things that you just mentioned. I mean, because this business is time consuming. I mean, let's just be real. Let's address the elephant in the room. I mean, and especially on a university campus. I mean, when you have 19 sports, you know, going, or 22 sports going, or whatever. I mean, and they all want content.
Oh yeah.
All the coaches want or think, you know, their sport is the top tier sport, and you know, and it takes a lot of time to edit. It takes a lot of time to be creative. Especially now in this day and age where everything is on your phone and people want content right now. It's a lot. So, I mean, you matured in saying, okay, in priorities, what's important, And I mean, and there's nothing to be ashamed of with that. Just now you just have to wear a different hat and learn how to give those flowers from 30,000 feet. Now, I wouldn't suggest dropping them from an airplane because you may hurt somebody, but you understand what I'm saying.
Well, and to be able to be okay with it. And, but it still keeps me in the industry and in part of the fun of it. And, you miss, because that's the cool part about that live side of it is it's just like any sports. I mean, after an event, you're all giving each other high fives and like, we did it. Good job. We all came together and we put a good show on. And so for those of people that like teamwork and athletics and stuff, it's still a space that you can be a part of sports, but it's teamwork in a different way. That's what really makes this industry really cool.
So here's what you do now. After your meetings, you go by and you high five everybody in your meetings.
Great action items, everybody. Great job.
you lead a hallway walk instead of a tunnel walk.
Man, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, there's different things that you can incorporate that are mimicking to the things that you used to do to keep it exciting, to keep it going. I mean, because even now, I'm not in sports as much as I was, but I still am able to go and freelance and do different things like that, which keeps me into sports and stuff. But yeah, I mean, the grind every single day. I mean, you have to learn and know where you are with that. And I mean, like I said, I'm pretty sure there's somebody that's going to be watching this that is in that in-between stage of putting the camera down and having to pick up more of a pen and type more on a keyboard to write an email than to edit a video.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and I suppose like sports anywhere. And look, I mean, I bet everybody goes through it. It's, you know, whether it's this industry or whatever, just when that time of life comes and you've got to decide where your priorities are at. But at the same time, you know, how can you still, it's not giving up at all. It's just this, how can I reinvent myself and how can I stay with it and change?
Yeah.
Which you and I know you have to be able to change and adapt to be able to survive and be able to do things. So
that's true.
But
and to know that you still have value no matter what. Yeah. And to know that, okay, I may miss, just like a player, I mean, you know, that's retiring, they're gonna miss the crowd, they're gonna miss the instant, you know, gratification, the instant pat on the back, but they know that, you know, everything that they did was an impact. And you have to realize that. And I have to realize that, that what I did was an impact. And like what we talked about when we first started, that me putting somebody up on the video board sparked them, just like Mike sparked you. And you have to remember those things and you have to recall those stories. And I mean, because let's be real, you're sitting in a meeting for 45, 50 minutes, an hour, and you know, everything was discussed in the first 3 minutes, but the meeting is just going on. And it's like, okay, I now need to reinvent my mind, reinvent what I'm doing, and know that I'm still adding value to the persons that I'm over now, the persons that I'm leading. I may not be on the field, but I'm helping that person get better and into where they need to be.
Oh, yeah. And so I take the mentality now at this point of like getting hurdles out of the way for the team. And I put them first, you know, how can make sure that I've got everything out of the way so that they can do their job. It's a selfless way to have to act now, because you're only going to do well if you're selfless at this part of your life, because you are constantly now looking out for those that you are managing all the time. And that's what's going to make you successful is how can I continue to make sure that, you know, this person is learning and leading his people correctly and or her people correctly. And if you start thinking about yourself too much and am I going to get a raise or am I going to get a promotion or whatever it is, then your mindset is just not correct. And your team, and they're going to see it in you. They're not going to want to follow somebody like that. They're going to want to follow somebody that they know is going to fight for them. And I think that's how I've tried to lead now that I've been here, is just keeping my team first over me. So
it's a different mindset now. So you were the student, but now you're the mentor or either the coach or either the sponsor. You understand what I mean by that? So like the mentors, you know, they're providing the long-term support and care. The coaches are the ones that focus on the specific skills and performance. And the sponsors are the ones that can call somebody and be like, hey, give this person a job or give this person an opportunity.
Yeah.
So you have to realize where you are, what role that you're in now. I mean, I'm pretty sure Jeff was that for you back in the day. He was a mentor. And then now you are that mentor or you are that sponsor or you are that coach to the ones that are under you. So, yeah, I mean, you're still part of the team.
Yeah. Well, and look, that's part of it. You know, everybody got probably somebody always looked out for someone and spoke a good word for them along the way. And I'll be the first to say that you're right. That's how it got me to Kansas, because there's that Nebraska connection. I mean, that's how it got me to Auburn. Andy Young was in the spot before me, and I got high recommendations, I believe, from him and a couple of the folks that were here already and that wanted me to come here and lead them. So, I mean, it's very flattering and it's very humbling when you know that you have people like that that'll stick their necks out for you and do those things. But you're right, now I'm doing that for others. And it's cool, you know. Nothing brings you more joy now than seeing a student that was with you or someone that learned from you or whatever go out into the real world and make a difference in their own space now. And it's just so cool to see them come back and what they've learned and how they've grown. That's so cool. It's so neat to see that. You know, like your own kids, you know, how can you teach them the right from wrong? Watch them grow up and hopefully you've taught them the right stuff. So
Exactly. I mean, and that's what all of this is about. I mean, it's about, you know, when we're younger, learning, then when we get older, still learn, but teaching and, you know, and bringing somebody else up and, you know, and then it's then you get those phone calls from people, those students, and be like, hey, I want to thank you for, you know, teaching me this or showing me this, or I want to invite you to my wedding. And then you can go back on stories and different things that you guys used to do together. So, I mean, it's all full circle. I mean, just like the player that retires and stuff like that, they still have all those memories. They still have the skill. It's just Father Time.
But it's those invisible medals. I read a book recently about that, and I love that idea of it. It's from a retired Marine, and he calls them those invisible medals. It's the things that you're not putting that medal on your chest anymore, but that moment when someone calls you up or sends you a note, sends you a text or whatever, and they say, thank you for this, thank you for everything you did for me, or hey, 10 years ago this, or whatever it is, those are the coolest times, when those invisible medals, it's like that, I was a part of that. No one else is going to know that. And I'm not going to go brag about it and, you know, post it or anything like that. But those are the moments that you live for, those sort of things. And those are really cool.
Those are cool. And I mean, we talked about this a while ago, about like the traditions and different things that start and how it starts, and it's organic and everything. And Virginia Tech, they do the Inner Sandman, right?
Yeah.
And do you know how that started?
I do not. I mean, I know is that the third or fourth quarter break, or is that
that's,
when it gets
that's
played?
The start of the game.
Of the game? Oh, okay.
When they run out. Okay. So Inner Sandman started, and I pray I get this right. It started because a student was cold, and he just started jumping when Inner Sandman came on. And then somebody else saw that person jumping because they were cold. They were just trying to keep warm. And now you got 66,000 plus that do it every single game, not just for football, but for basketball, soccer, baseball. I mean, all the sports do it at Virginia Tech. And it started because somebody was cold.
Do they know who that one student was?
They have a name for it. I can't not remember his name. But, I mean, that just goes back to, you know, us creating those memories and creating those things and holding on to, you know, things that we didn't think that were going to be important, you know, when we were students and, you know, starting off in the business, and like how Jeff did things for you guys and you were just having fun. And now, I mean, all you guys are like at prominent universities, and you're giving back to all these other students and stuff like that. And it's just, but you were just like, you know, like that guy at Virginia Tech. He was just trying to get warm. He was just trying to get through the game. And now, you know, it's a tradition that is talked about on ESPN.
Yeah, right. And I think it's that lesson again too, that you can't, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but a lot of the times when it's organic, that makes it much easier and more special. And, you know, you can try and start some sort of tradition, but it's hard time at times if like the students don't catch on or the fan base doesn't want to do it. And you're kind of forcing it, and it's like, you know, they're much more into it when it's organic, and you just follow what they're giving you, you know.
Yeah, you can tell when the ones are forced, and they fall flat, because that goes back to the instant gratification. They will tell you within a beat, nah. And then it's noted.
Yep.
It's noted. you gave me a lot of stories, so we're not going to go into any more stories. But your favorite game day moment at Auburn is?
It's hard to beat the Iron Bowl. Well, for me personally, my first Iron Bowl was a victory. Auburn won, and it was, I mean, God, I'm realizing now every Iron Bowl seems to be some sort of amazing something that happens on the field. But what was neat for me is that seeing, so when I was at Nebraska, you know, they had 80,000, well, shoot, well, what was it? 76,000 there. Now it's more there now. Kansas was not the football school all the years. There were some times that it was, but even at a full house, you're at 50,000 and they didn't sell out a lot. So it was neat to go back to what would be considered a football school at Auburn. Although, yeah, I gotta be careful. I'm going to offend somebody if I, you know, say things. Well, it's also a basketball school. It's an everything school, you know, but no, it was nice to be a part of a football program again where games mattered. And to see and to feel what it was like again to have 80,000 people screaming and yelling and getting into the game, and anything you put on the board is just causing, you know, make noise, and it just gets louder and louder. And my family, we had just moved here, and my family hadn't moved down yet. So I was down here for 4 years or 4 months or so by myself, and my first year of football, I was just doing a lot of observing. So there were times that I was watching that game with them and seeing them in the stands and being a part of that Iron Bowl with them was just so cool, because it was neat to see them experience what a great football atmosphere is again. And so for me, it was kind of bringing back like, oh yes, rowdy, wonderful football, where people are passionate about the team, they're passionate about winning, and they're passionate about just college football. And so Iron Bowl is just, it's another beast, and it's just so cool how people live and die by that game.
How does the production get ready for that game?
So the production, you know, there is more that goes into that. It's the end of the season. And so it would be the last game of the year. This year, our last game is not Alabama. We're on the road. But so you've built up all of your stuff, right? So you've got everything in your arsenal that you can throw at them. But then also in that, people are making stuff, you know, specifically for that game, an intro video that says, this is the Iron Bowl, you know, we've played this many times, you know, and you're creating things specifically for that game. A lot of it too is because you've had the whole year to be able to create stuff. You know, this industry, it's that first game, it's hard to get everything ready, you know, all your intros and all of that stuff. So finally, this last game, it's this accumulation, and you just, even as a production, you feel like we're throwing the book at them. You know, we'll, you know, make sure every time they're kicking a field goal, we've got, you know, a bird staring at them on the video board, or, you know, we're doing whatever it is to really, you know, maybe push the limit on, you know, I don't know if we were supposed to do that, but we'll replay that again, you know, or whatever it is. Like, what's it matter? It's the last game of the year. So you're just really going all out for that. And it's almost like, again, it's the fourth quarter, it's overtime of your season. Like, guys, this is the last game. We're going all in. So that's what you end up doing.
Everything's out there. And it's you made a good point that you can, with the video board, you can almost kind of like control the game. If there's like a controversial call that maybe the refs didn't get, we could sneak it in there and like, and then they...
Exactly. And we're priding ourselves on, we're proud of, I mean, that might not be a word.
Hey, it's coined.
Priding. Yeah. We'll use it. We're priding ourselves on that right now, that if we see anything you know, targeting, ooh, that looked like targeting, roll it back quick, get it in quick so that, you know, because again, after every play, someone's looking up, you know, and the coaches, shoot, you coaches are looking too. You know they're looking because they're yelling at the ref and looking at the board. So as much as we can, that's where we're being fans and we're showing what, you know, and if the crowd is paying attention, if we don't show a replay, it's probably for a reason. Like, yeah, guys, we don't want to show this right now. If we replay this, there's an obvious face mask. We're not going to show this, you know, or now that really wasn't a touchdown. So we're not going to replay this right now. So, you don't want the other coach, you know, saying, let's review it, you know? So you can very much play an instrumental part. So that's what you don't want to put the pressure on yourself of saying, guys, if we don't, you know, this game is, you know, we have so much impact on it, but you do have to understand and recognize that you very much can have an impact on it. No one's going to look back and say we lost the game because of the video board, but people will look back and say, man, because they replayed that, you know, we saw it on the board and they don't, you know, no one knows, you know, because David Peterson said, roll that, you know, replay back and Jake Mays took it or whatever it is. They know the board showed a replay. It caused the team to say, you know, hey, let's get a review of it. And yeah, we can be a huge impact on the game. Absolutely.
So it's like we're helping the coach out in moments like that, helping our team out. And, you know, we're still being engaging with the fans and everything. I mean,
it plays a lot of roles. It plays the role of an entertainer, an educator, a coach, an advocate, a public service announcement, as we talk about it, I suppose it does. It has a lot. It plays a lot of roles. You talk about movies and, you know, they talk about the cast and stuff. And sometimes they'll talk about how the city was, the background was a part of the cast and, you know, and these sort of things. But you're right. That video board is a huge part of the team. And it's a huge part of the environment. And it plays a ton of roles. Absolutely.
And it brings in a lot of money, too, with marketing.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I mean, shoot, that's the obvious one. We're not here if we're not putting the sponsorships up. So sorry, sports property team. I didn't mention that one right away. So it's also our benefactor.
Exactly. And I mean, and that's why this show, this podcast, the Jumbotron is going to be awesome for people to understand that it's just not a screen in the stadium. It's not just a screen, you know, in the arena. It's part of the team.
Oh yeah. And it can take on its coach's personality. I mean, there are things that we do for one coach that they want us to do, but another coach comes in and they don't want us to do that. You know, there are things that we could be more aggressive with, knowing that the coach won't care if we're showing him, you know, you take to that point. I think our coach that we have here now at basketball, if I show Bruce Pearl getting fired up and yelling at a coach yelling at a ref or, you know, something, I think the crowd feeds into that. And because we know that that's Bruce Pearl's, you know, personality, Bill Self at times, we could do it at Kansas where is in certain moments, it's like, yes, show him doing that because it's going to, and we know he's going to get teed up, but it's going to get everybody fired up. And so it's a way that you can help fire up the crowd. But then there's some coaches that, you know, that they'd be ticked off if you're showing them getting angry, or, you know, and I think we're still learning right now with our football coach on like, what personality, you know, should we show of him on the board, you know, and those sort of things. We have those discussions all the time. Is this year, is this something we can do? Is this something we need to stay away from? You got a quarterback controversy. Do we stay away from showing quarterbacks? Hey, don't ever show this guy. Don't ever show the sidelines. this year we can show the sidelines. You know, it's just constantly changing on what message maybe the coach is trying to show. And, you know, you've got to change if we're hearing the message from the coach that this is a very selfish team, then no, he's not going to want, you know, shots on the board of somebody, you know, all about them or whatever it may be, or, you know, so it's interesting how it can't be the same thing every year, and things that you think are obvious and things that you think are your go-tos may not be from year to year. It just kind of depends on the season and the coach. So
I never thought about that, but that is so true. I mean, from coach to coach, things are different. I mean, you will have some coaches that, you know, I want every replay, no matter what, every replay. And then there's some coaches like, we're focused on the next thing.
Yeah. And I think even, you know, boards came in as a replay board, you know, a sponsorship and replays. And that was the whole point of, at least from my understanding of it, is that it was a replay board. Show a replay every time. You get used as Pavlov's dog that, okay, plays over, I'm going to look up. Plays over, I'm going to look up. But it's evolved away from that. And a lot of times you either it's a, you know, the team's in a hurry up offense and you can't show it, or you don't want to show it like we talked about, because I don't want to show that right now. That would be a bad idea because we definitely have a penalty on that player. We targeted someone or whatever it is. And so the amount of thought that goes into every play, it's not just that simple sometimes. Knowing behind the scenes that not showing a replay or showing a replay or showing it a couple times from a different angles, they're all for a reason. And they all involve, they're very specific why we're doing that. And a lot of times, you know, you go back to, you were talking about Jeff Schmall at Husker Vision. I remember him, one of the things I learned from him when he was watching my edits is he would say, why did you edit right there? Why did you cut right there and go to your next shot? And if I could tell him, well, at that frame, I cut it and I wanted to go to this shot because of whatever, then he was good with it. But if my answer was ever, I don't know, I just wanted to, it's just time to get off the shot, he's like, then that's not a good enough reason. You have to put thought in, you know, and it's, I think the same with live cuts, like don't cut just to cut. You know, don't take a shot just to take a shot. Why are you taking that shot? It's for a reason. Which then leads you to maybe you just never do have a perfect show. It's, you know, could there have been a better cut? Could you have cut somewhere else? Could you have told a different story? Sure, you could have, but maybe that perfect game will never be there. So
I don't think the perfect game will ever be there. I mean, it will be the best. It'll be to the best of our ability and to the best of our personnel. And I mean, if we have a game with no miscues, there'll still be something in the back of your head like, I didn't miss a punch or anything, but I didn't get something in that I wanted to. So, I mean, there'll always be that. I mean,
I mean, you're always chasing perfection, because as you chase perfection, what is it? While chasing perfection, you're going to catch excellence, or I'm going to mess that up, but I believe, was it Green Bay's football coach? Now I'm blanking on his name, but the idea, what's that?
Vince.
Yeah. Probably should have remembered that name. That's kind of a big one. I'm getting older. My memory stinks these days. And I'm only like 47, so there's no excuse for this. But it is also end of day when we're recording this, so my brain's starting to melt a little bit.
I understand.
But the idea, though, as you're discussing this, you are chasing perfection because you don't want to rest on your laurels. If you have suddenly, you know, you just had a great game and you think you're doing great and everything's good, that's when it slips. And so you're always trying to, how can I get better? How can I improve? But you're right. If you know, perfection in live sports with edit or with directing and producing, you're probably not going to catch it, but I love chasing it. And I love trying to get to that spot and trying to figure out how to get there better, how to get there quicker, whatever it may be.
And it's almost to like what one of Jeff Schmall's quotes was, which is, give people a reason to come to the stadium and experience things they can't by staying home and watching TV. We want to entertain. We want to encourage. We want to inform you guys. We want to show you something that, you know, if you stay at home, we want you to feel that hurt of not being in the stadium.
Yeah, that feeling of missing out, mm-hmm. for real. Yep. And that's the idea is, and when you talk about perfection on game day now, it's how can we have a perfect, it's not just a perfect show for all of athletics. It's how can it be perfect from the time you leave your door to the time that you pull back into your driveway, mm-hmm. That you knew where to park. The information on the app was good enough. You were entertained there. The bathroom lines weren't too long. The popcorn was good. The game experience, the fan experience, you won. I mean, good Lord, what a difference it makes when you win. Everything you did was right when you win. We know that. Yeah. And that's that perfection that you're trying to chase as an entire athletics department now. And the funny thing about that, though, is, for us, we talked, I know this is just video board related, but you take a basketball game for us, in one control room, we're telling a story, a very biased story for the video board. And in the other control room is an unbiased story that's going out on the SEC network. And it's two different, I mean, they're right next to each other, but two totally different stories going on of the same game. One is very much pro Auburn. The other one is, you know, you're doing what you're supposed to as a sports broadcast. And so the funny thing with that is in one room, you're telling everyone come to the stadium because you don't want to miss out. But in the other room, you're doing the best job so that they want to watch it on TV. And you don't want to mess up that one for everyone that's staying home, you know? So
that is so true. And that is a great, great point that you have one control room doing this and the other control room doing that. And, you know, yeah, the bias thing does happen. It does happen. But then you have to stay so neutral on the other side. And you may be a student, you know, in that control room on that side where you have to stay neutral. And so you have to be able to be mature. You have to be able to be, you know, steadfast. And it's like, man, I hate that we're losing this game, but the person watching this on, you know, on their television or on their phone, they need to enjoy. Yep.
They need to know the story. And if your team messed up, they need to see it on a replay. Right.
Exactly. We're going to come to a close. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your
insight.
Had a blast.
This is great. Thank you.
We touched on a lot of different themes throughout this thing. And I mean, all of them were on point too. All of them were key to where we are, to where we started, to where we are right now in our business, to where we are right now in our professional. So I thank you, my friend. I thank you for being here.
Absolutely. I thank you. It's great catching up with you again too. And you, man, that's what makes this business and this industry fun is it's our own little niche corner of the world and being able to keep up with everybody and see each other again and see what they're doing in their new industries or their new careers. And it's really great catching up with you.
And I said before, no stories, but I need to get, I kid you not, story. I need at least one of them.
Well, I'm telling you, just some of these stories are just what makes you just love being a part of this industry because there are so many things that can mess up along the way. And it's pretty remarkable when you think about it, how many times they're pulled off properly for the amount of stuff, whether it's someone parachuting in or it's fireworks going off, smoke, fire. I mean, all these things that we're playing with, lights, we've got a, you know, we didn't even think about that. Our lights are so bright now that we had the airport nearby us call and say, you got to tell us when you're turning those lights on because planes are landing and they don't know which lights are which. So, you know, like all these things you guys start thinking of, you start playing with all these natural or all these elements We'll call the airport from here on out.
David, thank you, my friend, for, again, being here.
Come back, interview me again in 3 years when the podcast is still going and strong. And, you know, maybe I get to come in once a year and tell more stories.
Guys, thank you for joining us right here on the Jumbotron. We have enjoyed today's talk. And you just keep doing what you need to be doing and encouraging all of those that are in our field that, you know, just keep showing up for game day. Just keep showing up for game day and doing what you're supposed to do, and all things will go well. We'll talk to you later. See you. Bye.
Thanks for watching another episode of On the Jumbotron Podcast with host Christopher Lee. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at On the Jumbotron Podcast. On YouTube, follow it On the Jumbotron. This podcast is produced by Great Shot Productions. Opening and break music is produced by DJ LLA. If you're interested in sponsoring the show, email us at otjpodcastbooking@gmail.com. Until next time, stay creative and humble, and always entertain, inform, and inspire.